Scripture reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights. After this, he was very hungry. The devil came to Jesus to tempt him, saying, "If you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written in the Scriptures, a person does not live on bread alone, but by everything God says." Then the devil led Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and put him on a high place of the temple. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, jump down, because it is written in the Scriptures, he has put his angels in charge of you. They will catch you in their hands so that you do not hit your foot on a rock." Jesus answered him, "It also says in the Scriptures, do not test the Lord your God." Then the devil led Jesus to the top of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms in the world and all their splendor. The devil said, "If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things." Jesus said to the devil, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the Scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So the devil left Jesus, and the angels came and took care of him.
Thanks, Dan. Knowledge is power. Just to give you a little example from life, automaker Henry Ford once asked electrical genius Charlie Steinmetz to build the generators for his factory. And so he did. And one day, all the generators kind of ground to a halt. And the Ford's maintenance people couldn't figure out what was wrong. So he called up Charlie and said, "Could you come over and take a look at these generators and find out what's wrong?" And so Charlie went, and for about an hour, he tinkered with the generators and then flipped a switch, and they all came back on. And so Steinmetz then sent Ford a bill for $10,000 for that hour. And Ford, being a rather frugal man, wondered why it was so expensive. And so Charlie told him, you know, an hour, he kind of broke it down, 1 hour to tinker with the generators, $10. Knowing where to tinker, $9,990. And so Ford paid the bill. Knowledge is power. That phrase takes on even greater significance as it relates to the knowledge of God and his word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Holy Spirit influenced John to write these words. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In that verse, God and the Word are equated to one another. Therefore, to know the Word is to know God. So the better you know the Word of God, the better you know God. And the question arises, you know, how much do you really need to know about God? I mean, you know who he is, you know his son Jesus, and most of you in here know the plan of salvation. So how much more do you really need to know in regard to God? And I think it's a legitimate question, because when you witness an 8 or 9 year old child being baptized into Christ, you know that that child has a very limited knowledge about God and his word. But you also know they're saved. You know, even though their knowledge about God and his word is so small in comparison. It's similar to the parables of the workers in the vineyard, you know, where, you know, someone out at the beginning of the day and someone out at the last hour, but they were given the same wage. But keep in mind, however, knowledge is power. The more you know about God's will and word, the more you know God. And the more you know God, the more you can be like God. God places his Spirit in you at your conversion to help you to know him and his will. And he wants you to know him, because the knowledge of God gives you the power to resist the power of this world, which is evil, of course. And remember the words of John in 1 John 5:18, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But John also wrote, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So the better you know God's will, the wiser you will be to recognize the deceptions of Satan. And the more equipped you will be to resist. So if you want to join a resistance movement, I suggest you join this one. There are several scriptures that encourage you to know the will of God. You know, God expressed that to us. Ephesians 5, chapter 1, Paul wrote, "You are God's children whom He loves, so try to be like Him." And in the verses that follow in Ephesians 5, he explains how they are to live. And near the end of that section, in verse 17, he wrote, "So don't be foolish, but learn what the Lord wants you to do." So Paul made the point that it's foolish not to know God's will. Not just God, but God's will, because you were created to honor Him, to be like Him. After all, you were created in the image of God. And He also created you to do good works. There are a number of other verses that address the importance of knowing God's Word, but I want to focus on something that Jesus said in a conversation He had with some Sadducees in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, the Sadducees came to Jesus and asked Him a question that related to the resurrection, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So beginning in verse 23, they posed a scenario about a woman who had had seven husbands, and all of her husbands died. And then finally she died. And so the Sadducees asked Jesus, "Okay, Jesus, so whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Whose wife is she going to be in the next life?" And Jesus responded in verse 29, "You don't understand, because you don't know what the Scriptures say, and you don't know about the power of God." So Jesus criticized the Sadducees because they did not know the Scriptures. And when you don't know the Scriptures, you won't really have a good grasp of the truth. And you won't have a good grasp of what God can do. If you don't know the power of God, you won't have the power of God. You won't be able to exercise the power of God, because knowledge is power. And one of the strongest biblical examples for me of knowledge being power is found in the reading you heard in Matthew 4, where Jesus responded to the temptations of Satan with Scripture three times. You know, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and nights in the wilderness, Satan asked Him, "Hey, why don't you just turn those stones into bread?" You know, in an attempt to see if Jesus would succumb to the desires of the flesh. You know, because this was an important test for Jesus, because He would be sacrificed on a cross. Jesus responded by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" What that tells you is that you live by God's Word. In the context of Deuteronomy 8, God told Israel that He led them in the desert for 40 years to test them and to find out what was in their hearts and to see whether or not they would obey His Word, His commands. He let them experience hunger, it says, and then fed them with food they had never tasted or seen before, so they would know that God is the one who feeds them. So your life is dependent on God's Word. Satan, of course, didn't give up. So he tried to tempt Jesus into proving the truthfulness of God's Word. Satan quoted Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. "He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And so Satan took Jesus to the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and he suggested that Jesus throw Himself off the top of the temple to see if God will be faithful to His Word, as he quoted in Psalm 91. So Satan dares Jesus to test how faithful God is to His Word. And Jesus responded again with God's word. He quoted Deuteronomy 6:16. Again it is said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." You know, we're not here to test God's word. We're to have faith in God and His word. You can become extremely discouraged and disappointed when you expect God to treat you in a certain way or do something at a certain time, which we have really no right to do. We don't have a right to test God, but He certainly has a right to test us. So Jesus used the word of God to counter Satan's temptation. Satan then tried a third time to tempt Jesus by tempting him to become king the easy way, by avoiding the cross. Satan said, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just fall down and worship me." And Jesus quoted scripture again, Deuteronomy 6:13, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And so what this confirms is that knowledge is power. Your knowledge of God's word gives you the power to live a life that pleases God. Because God and his word are inseparable, as we read in John 1:1. Therefore, we should want to know His word as fully and completely as we possibly can. Knowledge of God's word is knowledge of God. And knowledge of God's word enables you to glorify God through your life, to serve Him, to resist the evil one. Therefore, you need to study God's word. You need to know every word that comes from the mouth of God, as Jesus said, because knowledge is power. And since God's word is so important to our lives, now here comes the interactive part that I mentioned in the beginning. The Adult Bible Education Ministry is working on our education ministry. And to do that effectively, to organize it effectively, we need some feedback from you. Especially those of you who are not involved in our adult Bible education classes. Now, these guys aren't afraid. They're just going back to hand out something to you. We're going to pass out a survey to you right now, and we're going to give you an opportunity to fill it out. And I'm asking you, as nicely as I know how, please, please, take a moment to fill it out for us. It will help us. You don't have to put your name on it. We're not asking you to put your name on it. There's only 8 questions. 4 of them you can check off, like gender and age, really quick. Now, age, I don't know, but gender, I know you can check off really quick. So you can be honest on this survey about our adult Bible education ministry because you're not signing your name to it. We want to know what we can do to encourage you to participate more in Bible study. We offer a class on Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can start filling them out right now. You know, I'll just be in the background. We offer classes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There are also small groups that meet throughout the week to study. But if you just take a look at the back of the bulletin on the lower left-hand corner, you will see that less than half of those who come to worship attend one of our Bible classes. So we want to know what those reasons are that you don't participate in Bible classes that the church offers, because it's if it's something we're not doing very well or we're not doing right that discourages you or prevents you from participating, we want to change that so that you will. We want to eliminate all the barriers that we possibly can so that you can access the power that comes through the knowledge of God's word. We want to be sure that we are offering classes that you enjoy and that meet your needs and that teach you and equip you to go out and fight the battles that Satan throws at you each week. Our goal is for all of you to be in the Word, if not on a daily basis, at least on a weekly basis. Proverbs 27:17 teaches, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." It helps to be with people. It helps to study with people. God's Word teaches you that in Proverbs 27:17. So we're asking all of our members to fill this out. Guests, you don't have to fill it out if you don't want to, but if you want to, feel free. And we're going to collect them right now before you leave. These gentlemen are in the aisles, so if you finish it, just pass it over to one of them, if you would. This shouldn't take very long. It's multiple choice with space to provide an explanation if necessary. So if, as you do it, in fact, we're even going to serenade you a little bit here with a beautiful a cappella song as you're completing this. So go ahead and show that and play that, and then we'll conclude. One of the ways you can do that is by knowing His Word. Because the better you know His Word, the better you know God. So remember, knowledge is power. I thank you so much for being willing to be interactive today with this and for filling that out. It will help us greatly as we plan the curriculum for the fall and the coming quarters. So thank you so much. Now I need you to fill out something else, a communication card. That you have, hopefully, a blue communication card. I've listed the three next steps you can take this morning. Memorize Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. And read again the temptation of Jesus, Matthew 4:1-11. What a powerful visual, a powerful example of being able to overcome temptation, being able to resist the powers of this world by knowing God, by knowing His Word. And I ask you to take the Bible study challenge. If you're not in the Word on a daily basis, I ask you, find some time, because you will come to know God better and better. Just take a little bit of time. I mean, start out with a little bit of time if you're not doing it. If you're not doing it on a daily basis, at least do it on a weekly basis. But you will be blessed when you spend time with God. So, I don't know if you caught this or not, but I'd just like to remind you, knowledge is power. In Romans 1:16-17, Paul emphasized how powerful God's words are in relation to salvation. He wrote, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So your knowledge of the gospel has the power to save you if you will believe it. And we strongly urge you to believe it, and we'd like to help you put your faith into action this morning by obeying the gospel. If we can help you do that this morning, as we sing this song, please let us know. You can come to the front, or you can go to the back, or see one of us afterwards, but it's an opportunity for you to be saved through the power of the gospel. Let's stand now and let's sing.